So we are now going to do our Bible study. And those of you that have been with us on Wednesday nights, you would know that we've been stepping our way through Luke's writings and finding instances where he speaks about the matter of prayer. We did the same with Paul, so we've been through a large portion of the New Testament already, but now we are doing this with Luke's writings. But before we get to Luke, I would ask you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And in this chapter, of course, is among Christians a very famous verse, and that, of course, is verse 28 that says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And this is not what I'm speaking about tonight, but just a pause to remind us that that verse was true before the COVID restrictions, and it's still true. And so it is very, very helpful, and I think very important for us as believers to remind ourselves that our God is God. Right? He is the one true and living God, and none of this takes him by surprise, and we very much want to remember to trust in him. So we have that statement that God, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then here's some explanation that is added to that. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, that is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then it goes on from there. So what I wanted to remind us of is that it is the Lord's express purpose and plan that those whom he foreknows, and I didn't read verse 30, but it talks about those that he predestinated, and those whom he called, and those whom he justified, and those whom he will glorify, right? So he's talking about believers. And so verse 29 is telling us that it is God's express intention for us as believers that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Now, what's very interesting is that that same word conformed occurs one other time in the New Testament, and that's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. You don't have to turn there, but in that verse, it talks about our being, our body, our physical body, being fashioned like unto, that's the word conformed, to his glorious body. So what's very interesting is that at some point, right, in the future, when part of the first resurrection, our physical bodies will be made like unto his glorified body. So that's part of our being conformed to the image of his Son. But I think what the Lord is speaking about in Romans chapter 8 is more than that. So this is not just a matter of speaking about the eventual changing of our physical body to be like his glorified physical body. There's other aspects of Christ-likeness that the scripture speaks of in many ways in many different places. So I wanted to bring to our attention that aspect of Christ-likeness, that it is God's intention that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. So with that in mind, let's go back to Luke chapter 5. And 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have our prayer meeting and Bible study last week, 2 weeks ago, we finished off looking at two examples of prayer. And these were requests that were actually made to Jesus while he was physically present on the earth. And I think it is totally legitimate for us to count them as examples of prayer, because Jesus, of course, is God the Son. And the first of these requests was expressed by Peter, and this is his response to to the Lord Jesus' further revelation of himself. Peter had already come to know something about the Lord Jesus. I think he likely counted him to be the Messiah. But on this occasion, what happens, of course, is Peter and his partners, Andrew and James and John, had been out all night fishing, and they caught nothing. And so after the Lord borrows the boat to teach the crowds on the shore, he tells them, you know, put out into the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and let down your net for a draft. And Peter seems to be a tiny bit begrudging, but he says, okay, Lord, we've done it all night and caught nothing, but at your word, we'll do that. And of course, as soon as he does, he catches enough fish to sink two boats. And Peter's response is, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And so associated with this instance of prayer, which I believe is Peter responding to this increased revelation of Jesus. He now understands something more about Jesus because he has just witnessed this remarkable miracle. And so he recognizes his own sinfulness in comparison to God manifest in the flesh. So the question is, when we think of the matter of our being conformed to the image of Christ, so what we see demonstrated about Christ here is a miracle, right? Tell Peter to go and let down his net and catch a whole bunch of fish, right? So when the Lord says, it's my express purpose and plan for you as those that I foreknew, those that I have predestinated and called and justified to be conformed to the image of my Son, does that mean that we're all supposed to expect to go around doing miracles like that? Or you look at the second prayer that we looked at, verse 12, this man full of leprosy comes to Jesus, falls on his face and beseeches him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can heal this leprosy. And of course, verse 13 tells us that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So again, in this example, we see the Lord Jesus actually performing another miracle. So again, the question, for me, for you, to be conformed to the image of Christ, does that mean that we're all to work miracles? And of course, these miracles were manifestations of his deity. And so I think the answer to that very clearly is, although the Lord did allow some of the apostles, and of course some of the Old Testament prophets, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, to actually work miracles, to demonstrate his power that way, we would not in any way suggest that when Romans 8 and other passages of Scripture are admonishing us to pursue Christ-likeness, they are not admonishing us to do miracles. There are aspects of Jesus, because he is fully God, that we will never participate in. We will never be God. And, you know, to have the power that he had in a supernatural way. So it's important, I think, to remember that even though Jesus is deity, God manifest in the flesh, he is also humanity. And so when the Lord says, I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son, for us, the examples that are tied to his humanity is where that's going to be very helpful for us. And interestingly, that's exactly where we come as we continue in Luke's gospel. So he heals the man with leprosy in verse 13. Verse 14, he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now look at this verse. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. There is an example that you can follow. There's an example that I can follow. He prayed. And on this occasion, in Luke's account here, that's all we've got. Right? We aren't told the content of his praying. We aren't told exactly where he went to pray. But we are told that Jesus prayed. And so let me suggest, that the scripture would, I believe, set before us this. If you are going to be conformed to the image of Christ, then you need to pray. Not just pray that the Lord would conform you to his image. Go ahead and pray that too, yes. But you need to pray. Now, that is part of being conformed to the image of Christ. That we would make time to pray. And that's what's very interesting about, we aren't given a whole lot of details here, but we are told, right, the immediately preceding verse, there's these great multitudes that are coming together to hear him. And if you look at the parallel accounts in some of the other Gospels, what they would suggest is that around this time is when we're told that Jesus, I mean, there were so many people coming that he couldn't be anymore in the cities. He had to go out into the more remote places, and great crowds would gather and want to hear him. And also want to be healed of him, right? So my point is, what is happening here is Jesus is in the midst of a very busy time. And his busyness is not just because he's playing, right? So, I got to go and, play this sport or play that sport or, go to this concert or do whatever, right? So he's just busy entertaining himself. No, he is busy ministering very effectively, right? People are being healed of all kinds of sickness and disease. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, right? So he is ministering very, very effectively. And there, by the way, if you look again, I think it's, does Luke tell us that as well? So the very next incident records the account where Jesus is in a house, and there are so many people gathered around that when they bring that man that is paralyzed, carrying him on a stretcher, they have to go up on the roof and tear the roof tiles out, right, so that they can let him down. So again, an example of the great number of people that are crowding around him and so on. And so it is very interesting to me. Notice what verse 16 tells us. He withdrew himself into the wilderness, a desert place, and prayed. So a necessary step for him at this time, because of the busyness, because of the great crowds, a necessary step, a preparatory step to his praying, There is an intentional, a conscious, specific withdrawing of himself into those wilderness places. That's a good example, right? Now, at the particular time that we're in, some of us have perhaps a little more time on our hands because our normal work schedule is disrupted and those kinds of things because of the virus and everything else, right? But in the normal course, I know that many of us are very, very busy people. And unfortunately, I know because I'm one, sometimes I think we use our busyness as an excuse. Oh, well, I can't really take time to pray. Or, you know, I'll just do a quick, you know, while I'm driving to the office. No, we need to withdraw ourselves and pray. So if we would be Christ-like, if we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, let us remember this example of his withdrawing into the wilderness, into a desert place, and praying. Again, to me, there are so, we're going to look at other examples as we work our way through Luke's gospel of Jesus praying. And it's helpful, I think, to be reminded that, you know, this is God manifest in the flesh, and yet the Bible very explicitly tells us that he, as this human being, valued that alone time with his Heavenly Father. And so may we learn to value that alone time with our Heavenly Father as well.